I'm just mad about saffron. Saffron's mad about me.
Yes, it's saffron. And its fragrance, its colour and its taste have infiltrated cuisines and cultures the world over.
They call me mellow yellow. They call me mellow yellow.
Quite rightly.
They call me mellow yellow.
Its mystique only added to by the enormous prices it commands. Those three crimson stigmas in each flower of the Crocus sativus have appeared on frescoes, they've turned up in the tombs of pharaohs and caused the downfall of saffron adulterers who were executed by outraged rulers for daring to pass off other spices as the real deal. So extraordinary are the now proven qualities of this spice that one senior neuroscientist recommends it for older people whose eyesight is failing.
What it does for the patient is it restores some of the lost vision and then stabilizes the retina against further degeneration for well over a year. And that's a dramatic outcome.
Jonathan Stone is Professor of Neurobiology at Sydney University. And after seeing the impacts of saffron in an Italian trial, Professor Stone's conducting his own research into reversing age-related macular degeneration using this same spice.
It's a degeneration of the retina, and it's one of the most common forms of adult blindness. It starts to hit you when you're old, and it affects the small patch of retina which you use for everything. Well, not everything, not for night vision, but you use it to read, you use it to recognize people's faces, to know who you're talking to in your family, to watch your grandchildren grow. And it's a slow loss of that central vision. It becomes misty and then it'll black out entirely.
And in this Italian trial, which was a small trial but high quality trial, it was placebo, double blind.
The placebo means that some of the patients were on the saffron and some were on pills that looked exactly the same but didn't contain the saffron. And double blind means that the patient didn't know and also the people running the trial didn't know. One person obviously had the key to it all, but nobody knew during the trial who was taking what.
So what happened when this trial was conducted?
So it was a small trial, 25 patients. It had one other element, crossover, that some began on the pill, some on the placebo, and at 3 months they crossed over, and then the trial went another 3 months. But once you sorted out who was on what when, 23 of the 25 patients experienced measurable recovery in the electrical activity of the macular region of the retina and in their ability to read a Snellen chart. The effect seems to come on, and we've measured it in animals, in 1 to 2 weeks, and then will fade. If you stop taking the saffron, it will slowly fade and the disease will reappear.
And didn't, in fact, some of the participants in the Italian trial report just that very behaviour?
Yes, they did. So there's what we call the objective evidence, and then there's the anecdotes that go with it. And my understanding and discussing it with Benedetto Falsini, who led the trial, a very gifted clinician, he said, look, the patients would come to me and they'd say, oh, my vision cleared up, but now it's getting misty again. Am I on, which pill am I on? And he had to say, I don't know, and you don't know, and we won't know till the end of the trial. He said, but they were never wrong. They were never wrong. They could sense when their vision was fading.
And what's so exciting about this, Jonathan, is that the efficacy of saffron in the trial continues on apace. It doesn't lose its potency to do good over time.
No, it seems that if you stay on quite a low dose, that trial used 20 milligrams a day. If you stay on that well over a year, that the retinas of these people were stable, there's a good chance that that's the reality that we're dealing with.
We'll come back to the neurological benefits of saffron shortly. But just in case you were wondering where Professor Jonathan Stone sources his saffron, well, it comes from a couple of places. One is Italy, but the other is a small supplier on a property in Tasmania.
We're stripping the stigma, the saffron, from the flower. And so we sit round a table. That happens on all the farms across Australia and New Zealand. I'm Nikki Noonan, and they call me the Saffron Queen from Tasmanian Saffron in Tasmania.
For the last 23 years, Nikki and her husband Terry have been sitting around that table taking three saffron stigmas from inside every saffron flower. The Noonans were the first to successfully grow the spice commercially in this country, and their first harvest was a mere post pack of stigmas. Now they grow high-quality Category 1 saffron in a network of 70 farms in southern Australia and New Zealand.
We've learnt a lot over 23 years. We literally started with a wheelbarrow, a spade and $1,000. And we produce 10 kilos in our network of extra Category 1 saffron, 10 kilos from 70 farms.
As Nikki takes us into the saffron laboratory. This is a laboratory.
This is where you put
your strand.
We've hand-picked the flower. We've extracted the saffron, we've dried it, stored it into big jars.
Never seen so much saffron in my life.
Yeah, this is the end of the harvest. Okay. And then from there, we pack into little tiny glass vials of 100 milligrams.
And how you and I can use 100 milligrams of saffron in the kitchen, Nikki will reveal soon. In the meantime, Professor Jonathan Stone continues to be fascinated with saffron's ability to stimulate our cells into what he calls neuroprotection.
There's something in saffron, and we have yet to identify it, and we're working on that too, which affects all cells of the body, gets into their genome, and induces them to upregulate their protective mechanisms.
No side effects?
Not at that dose, no. You get intestinal bleeding if you swallow 5 grams of it, I think it is in the literature, but that's a few thousand times what we need to get the neuroprotective dose. So there's no effective toxicity at the doses we use.
Now, the potential for saffron in not just this area of vision restoration can also be applied to what's only come to animal trial at the moment, as I understand it. That's to do with other areas of neuroprotection, which is Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease as well.
Yeah, well, there are quite a few degenerative diseases of the central nervous system, but AMD is one of the most common in the retina, and Parkinson's and Alzheimer's are the most common in the brain. And yes, we're trialing them in animal models first. That's the way we have to do it. And we're getting very encouraging results in terms of the preservation of the dopaminergic cells of the midbrain, which are the key pathology site in Parkinson's. And we're getting earlier results, but encouraging results with models of Alzheimer's disease. Models of Alzheimer's disease, much harder to interpret because that's the state of the field. But it appears that the effect of saffron and the other neuroprotectants we're trialing are not specific to retina or particular diseases. They're working on mechanisms of self-protection and self-repair, which are intrinsic probably to all neurons.
Now, you've spent 50 years in experimental research. Why is it that now you've decided to market saffron yourself in a tablet form before all trials have been completed? Doesn't that run against some of the very parameters of science that you've adhered to for so long?
So there's always a question at what level of knowledge should something come onto the market. And it's often decided by the big pharmaceutical companies and by the big regulatory agencies like the FDA, the Federal Drug Administration Authority in the United States, major players in major markets. But when we're dealing with what's effectively a nutraceutical, using something that's of low toxicity, that's been ingested for years as a spice, and then another 5 years, 10 years to make people wait while massive trials are put through, I think is just not fair to those people who now suffering the diseases. And so I decided to give them the chance to try it for themselves and see if it helps them.
Couldn't I just go down to my local supermarket, pick up some saffron off a shelf and daily eat it?
Yes. Yes, you could.
And would that have benefits?
The only variables out there is that the post-harvest handling it does vary immensely, and we don't know how much that affects efficacy. But yes, the saffron is, there's nothing special that we do to it except produce it in a form which is stable and easy for a patient to comply with.
They call me mellow yellow.
And why is saffron so expensive? Well, let's go through the maths. Every crocus corm or bulb is hand-planted, then it's nurtured to harvest, then three stigmas are hand-picked from inside each flower on top of the bulb. It then takes stigmas from 20 flowers to make just 100 milligrams of saffron, which is why those little glass jars retail for about $15 a pop. However, Nikki Noonan is at pains to point out that of the four classes of saffron produced around the globe, their network of growers is up there with the best.
It's a really rich, deep red, and if we put boiling water into that, in about an hour we would have some colour through, but in 24 hours it would be a brilliant orange red. So we tell people how to do it. So you can mortar and pestle it and use it straight away. But to get all the properties out, the saffron, all the aroma, the picrocosines for taste, and the crocine, the colour, 24 hours is ideal. So we put that on the back of our pack so that people know how to use it.
You know, it's used in baking and curries and all manner of cuisines.
Liqueurs, chocolates, bouillabaisse, scones. There's a photo on the wall over there of my husband's saffron scones, you know.
He makes a mean saffron scone.
He makes a mean saffron scone. And one of my favourite recipes is, and everybody's got into it now, but it's saffron poached pears with a saffron syrup. And that's just magnificent. It's infused overnight, the syrup with the saffron, and the pears are infused, and that's just beautiful. And with a saffron ice cream, that's really, really nice too. I'm just mad about saffron.
I think it's mad about you.
I think it is.
Tasmanian saffron grower Nikki Noonan and her husband Terry's recipes for saffron scones and pears, also poached in saffron, are up on the RN First Bite website right now. As for the exciting evidence of saffron's ability to stimulate neurons to self-repair and restore, we have links to the latest research plus an extended interview with neurobiologist Professor Jonathan Stone up online as well. All you have to do is type RN First Bite into your search engine and you should find us in a flash. As this story covers the flavours and the science of saffron, we'd love to hear any of your experiences with the spice. There's a comment section online as well, right below the story.